Mate, we've done it. The last, it's kind of like day three of the championships, maybe.
Yeah, it's like a consolation prize.
Unofficial.
Yeah, definitely. But, mate, just not just Sydney this weekend. There's bloody group racing everywhere in Australia. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
We did four states. That's unlike us.
Could have done five. But we gave that one a really wide berth.
We chose not to. So we did obviously the races at Randwick. We did the Quokka over in Perth. What else we do? There was a couple of listed races in Brisbane.
Mornington Cup Day as well.
Which we've had success at in the past.
We certainly have. So plenty to listen to, drifters, and plenty of reasons to have a play this weekend. Who would you do it with, mate?
The good people at Ned's, mate. They are absolutely sensational. Team Orange through and through. They have the profiles at the moment, which we wouldn't have helped you last week, or I certainly wouldn't have. But, you know, you can follow us on the tips that we give out there. Go straight to the profile, puts you in your bet slip, and you can get on there.
100%. Hopefully we find you a few this weekend if you decide to follow us in. And you know what? If you don't want to look at the profiles on Neds, that's absolutely fine because they can cater to every other one of your needs anyway.
100%. But what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Deepest apologies to all South Australian racing fans.
Your racing sucks. And welcome back to another episode of the horse racing podcast absolutely no one asked for, the Polo Punk Club podcast, with my very good mate, Declan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Such a formal introduction for what is a very loose podcast.
Yeah, look, we were just saying that, and deepest apologies to all South Australian racing fans.
Your racing sucks.
Well, I wasn't going to be that blunt. But it doesn't really tickle my fancy, no. But Group 1 racing in Adelaide this weekend, so we've got to do our due diligence and at least give the punters something.
I guess so. If you're hearing that, that's my dog at the door, just wanting to get on the mic.
But, stay away, Leo.
Leo the legend. But yeah, I guess Russian Camelot won this race last year, but I'd say that's the only horse of note that has won that type of race in Adelaide
ever. Yeah, yeah, so fair. I can't recall anything coming out of Adelaide of substance, out of the Adelaide Group 1s at least, of substance in the last few years. So
no, and if you listened last week, punters, you may have caught on that, you know, we need to keep ourselves interested in this podcast as well. So we're just going to touch on a few things that tickled our fancy during the week. So mate, I went to the footy on the weekend, Lions versus Port.
Yeah, unreal.
And the Lions, of course they did. They towed up Port Adelaide yet again.
They really did. And yeah, it was a clinical performance. Very enjoyable to watch.
It was, and I did it perfectly. You know, there was a bit of rain around, you know. The crowd was absolutely throbbing out there.
Throbbing.
It was fantastic. It was brilliant to see. So Prue and I decided to leave at three-quarter time, and when we got home 20 minutes later, you know, there no goals had been scored, so we didn't miss any action. So
no, the damage was already done. The Lions they cooled their jets a little bit in the fourth quarter. There was one great goal to my mate, Hugh McGluggage.
One of the great humans on this earth.
One of the great Hughes.
Yeah. Well, one predominant Hugh that we talk about isn't really a friend of this podcast.
No, of the two Hughes we've mentioned so far in this podcast, this guy certainly comes out on top, Hugh McGluggage.
He takes the cake for sure. But if I was at the game and for Hugh's goal, which I wasn't, I was, you know, had a shower by that point, you know, feeling comfortable.
Relaxing and getting ready for, a nice rest after what was a dominant victory.
Yeah, you know, mate. I knew the boys had done got the JD. So, if I was there, after every Lions goal, they do like a little dance move, right? And Joe Danaher, for example, he does his and, you know, I think he did a handball, pretty basic stuff. But they also play a snippet of a song. So, last year for Charlie Cameron, it was Baby Shark.
Mm.
And this year for Joey, it was I'm Not That Innocent by Britney Spears.
Not that innocent.
So.
Oops, I did it again.
Yeah, something like that. One of those, you know, classic Britney. Mm. So, I was just going to ask you, if you were an AFL player and you just kicked a snag at the Mecca of Brisbane AFL, the Gabba, you know, and you're giving it to the crowd Charlie style with the motorbike, what song's going to play afterwards?
That's a great question. And, you know, I actually am going to switch codes because there's something that's just stuck in my head. And now it's translated to every single game I watch. But whenever you're at Suncourt watching Planet Bronk,
yes,
whenever they score a try, the that comes on, which I think is actually, and I might need to fact check this. I think it's a song by the Fratellis. Let me just check this real quick. Yeah, called Chelsea Dagger.
Wow,
jeez,
huge
big flex that. But yeah, so every I'm not a Broncos supporter. I don't mind the Bronx, but. every time now, even when I'm watching the Dragons play or watching State of Origin and someone tries and I'm exuberant because of it. Da, 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 da. So for me, that's probably what I think of. And another one that comes to mind is probably One More Time by Daft Punk or huge. Something. Just a great tune. As soon as you hear that. Da, da,
da, da, da, someone definitely had that. Da, da,
da, da, da. Yeah. Just... gets you up and about, you know?
Someone definitely had that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know who it was, but yeah, it makes sense, you know? But, mate, Planet Bronk, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, makes huge amount of sense.
Yeah, and just charging the arms up and down.
Oh,
it's a great sight.
It's a little seat workout. It's great.
Yeah, look, it's not happening as often anymore.
No.
than what it did a few years back.
Poor old Planet Bronk.
Oh, well. Yeah, one of the great celebration songs.
Absolutely. For my two cents, I was trying to think of it and I'm inspired by, you know, the nightclub scene. I reckon, imagine.
Are you?
Just imagine a bit of sandstorm going down after you kicked a goal.
Yeah, that's a classic. I always see funny videos of people doing a rendition of Sandstorm, but with different instruments, like a flute or like a jazz flute or something like that, or a recorder.
A recorder.
It's so funny every single time. No, that's a great show, mate. Yeah. And actually, you know what I just thought about with One More Time, the Daft Punk song? You remember when, I don't know if you would have seen this, but when Channel 7 had their last week of coverage for Melbourne Cup Week, and obviously now it's with Channel 10.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was their last year of having it. and they got the cast. So, we're talking Bruce McAvaney.
You're talking Richo.
We're talking Richo. We're talking Katie Mallion. Yep. We're talking Abby Jelmy, I think her name is. They're all doing a rendition of One More Time, and they've got their own little dance. Like it's a bloody TikTok or something.
In the cringeworthy stakes, it wins by the length of the straight.
I can just picture Bruce McAvaney looking down the barrel of the camera singing One More Time and doing this weird sort of dance. Man. I remember watching it just thinking, I'm a big fan of you, Bruce.
Same.
But I don't know about this.
You've had an absolute Betty Crocker there.
Oh, yeah. Richo's got some moves, but.
Yeah, he does. Because he is one of the greats. He's versatile, mate. He's the chameleon of the racing industry, I reckon.
Yeah. I think so too. He's actually not bald. That's just his race day look.
Wow.
Because he wants to have something on his head like a fedora
of
some description or an Akubra.
Of course he does.
But the hair just takes away from it.
I reckon he shaves it. I reckon it's just a spono. he has to fulfill his sponsorships. We might tag him in this to see what he reckons. But anyway, that's my yarn for the week. But you have anything to bring to the table?
Mate, something that really stood out to me this week is one of the most what-the-hell headlines I've ever seen in my life, which read a little bit like this. Ex-Test cricketer Stuart McGill abducted, assaulted, and held for ransom. That is not something I expected to read this week.
No.
It's really not.
Because in my memory, Stuart McGill of, you know, 44 tests for his country... I just remember him just, you know, turning nut for Australia.
Mate, you could turn it sideways.
Yeah. And I also remember him being a connoisseur of red wine for some reason. I knew that about him. I didn't think he'd be abducted and held for ransom. That's not something I affiliate with Stuart.
No, and abducting someone and holding them for ransom, I associate that more so with like royals or something, or in movies. This doesn't happen in Sydney, Australia,
no.
To Stuart McGill.
Of course not.
So, absolutely, absolutely bizarre, and end up being the brother of one of his ex-partners who was associated with bikies, allegedly, or something like that. So, who knows? But absolutely weird story. Poor Stewie McGill. Surely we'll have some PTSD from that. But actually, apparently, he was in handcuffs, and the way he got out of it was just by he kept turning his hand. And eventually, the handcuffs just undid themselves. And then he was searching for a way to get out, and there was just heaps of cricket balls lying around the place.
Yeah.
And he threw them at all the people who were holding him hostage, and they just passed out.
Yeah, of course they would.
Got hit in the head.
Oh,
but
that's funny.
Yeah, anyways. I was thinking there's some other funny headlines I've seen pertaining to sport recently, and here's one that you might like.
Okay.
And this will be something from last year.
Mm.
Robinson stitched up by umpires in bizarre mouthguard hurling incident. What is that headline, you might ask?
Now, I can't remember if we were watching the game together or I said to you, mate, look at this. But Mitch Robinson from the Lions and Carlton Blues fame, he's just done one of the great mouthguard throws after a decision didn't go his way on the field.
Hit full pelt.
It would have gone 50 metres.
At least, yeah.
It was brilliant.
It's still going, actually.
Yeah. It just made no sense.
No.
Love Robbo's passion. Yeah. Mate, I was having a think about this as well. And one that I found very interesting was Michael Slater this week.
Oh, bizarre too.
Calling out ScoMo. It's just been a bizarre week for, sporting heroes in our country. Ex-Australian cricketers.
Ex-Australian cricketers are a weird bunch.
Yeah.
What about leg spinners? Stewie McGill? Shane Warne?
Yeah.
Jeez. I wonder what's going to happen to Sweppo once he retires. Oh, he'll just go west.
Maybe. Doubt it.
Oh, but yeah. So, that was a funny story too. With Michael Slater accusing ScoMo of having blood on his hands.
Yeah. Whoa. And then I saw a tweet that he said, he's like, I dare you or I challenge you to a debate. He tweeted that at ScoMo. And it's like, why, mate? Why?
Yeah, Slats has got a screw loose, I think.
Loose marbles. And a little bonus as well, punters, if you haven't done this already, just Google Florida man and you will see some of the weirdest shit pop up for news headlines. So, June 27, 2012, Florida man chews off another man's face.
What?
January 1st, 2015, Florida man trapped in unlocked closet for 2 days. I've read some other ones, but that's the gist of it. Florida people, not the smartest.
No, they're not. Northern Territory news actually comes out with some bangers as well.
They do.
Perhaps for another time.
I think so. Okay, this week we're doing our top three bad beats of the autumn/spring, wherever they land. Look, there's plenty to choose on from, but I think this would have to be our top three. Do you want to... You have the honours, mate.
Mate, well, look, mine are pretty broad because I've had a pretty average autumn.
Me
right?
too.
And I'm going to start off with just very elegant and not being able to find her at all.
No.
So, I didn't tip her in her Group 1 victories in the Ranvit or the Chipping Norton. So, mm-hmm. I said to myself, I'll tip her in the Queen Elizabeth, which is probably soon to be the King Charles Stakes, not the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, because I don't think she's got very long left. And she goes and runs second. And I recall saying on the podcast, and I looked for this specifically for this point, in the spring after she won the Caulfield Cup, I said, I'm going to back her every start in the autumn.
Oh, no.
And I didn't until the last start where she ran second. So, one of my favourites, very elegant, cannot believe I didn't find her once during the autumn. That's just poor form for me. That's a bad beat.
That is a bad beat. and especially the class that she is. Mm. And, you know, and the one time you jump on, she's chewing her silly face off.
Bloody hell.
It's like she's just listening to Sandstorm at 2 a.m.
Yeah, she is.
My number one bad beat, well, 3-2-1. My first one is Brooklyn Hustle running fourth in the Oakley Plate after about 20 minute. Yeah. Look at the photo. Had her going for, had her each way, so I knew it wasn't getting first, but had her in an each way combo. If that had won, I would have collected quite a bit. And by the photo, I'm still not convinced she ran fourth. But what really kicked me in the nuts there was the next 3 to 4 weeks on RSN Radio, David Gator Gately just saying, oh, yeah, nah, Brooklyn Hustle should have won that race. If you tipped Brooklyn Hustle, you got the race right. And I'm just like, oh, that just doesn't help me, Gator.
Oh, mate, I feel for you, but also backed Portland Sky in that race, so.
You did.
Yeah. And that was probably the last group one I picked ever.
So, Brooklyn Hustle, look, and she flew home again for fifth.
She loves it. That's her racing pattern, mate.
Yeah.
And she'll keep doing it.
Yeah, so.
Until she retires.
I reckon she's a good bet in like a 10-horse field when she gets one. Mm. I reckon.
First up, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely first up. So,
we'll see.
Anyway, number two.
For me, again, this is a broad one, but it's just my golden slipper day in general. I had an absolute nightmare. So, obviously, the initial kick in the nuts was the fact that we were up in Noosa specifically for it, and we're going to go to the greatest punting venue on earth, the Noosa Surf Club, for it.
Duh.
And it gets rained out.
Duh.
That sucked. Delayed a week. And I'm like, I'm not going to change any of my tips. I still think the deck's going to be quite soft.
Bit of give.
It was still a soft, but it wasn't as soft as what I wanted it.
No.
By no means. So, this is how my day read.
Oh, no.
Rosehill Guineas. Fourth. Lions Roar.
Damn.
Sake. Ranvit. Second. Adabe.
Damn.
In the slipper. Fourth. With four. Moves ahead.
Shit.
Is that an H-way price too? Juniper and the George Ryder. Did absolutely nothing.
Second last.
Yeah. Other Ruffy that I wanted. Wins. Talia in the Galaxy. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, and that's when the imposter Eduardo won.
So, that was my golden slipper day. And I think I was this close to giving up punting. That close. If you're listening and not looking on YouTube, stop the podcast right now and go on YouTube. Yeah. That's how close I was.
Do it. We're 16 minutes in. Do it now.
There's something else of this size I'm thinking of too. But, it was not a good day for me. And ironically, since then, I've had a bit of a look through, and every group won since then, except I think barring two or three, my horses ran in the top four.
But there you go.
So
it could be the loss that you need to have.
I needed to take a good hard look at myself in the mirror, and I did.
Yeah.
I still am.
Yeah, you're still, you know, only about 2 to 3 wins away from the tippy top.
I could win it all.
It's a very tight leaderboard.
It is.
So, you know, plenty of footy to play, about 10 rounds, in fact.
We'll see.
My second one was the last leg of the quaddy in the first day of the championships, where we had four of them, I think, and none of them looked like winning except the horse that I picked, Marbusha, and it got beaten by nose by Matchmaker and J-Mac.
Yeah, that was my last one. That was a bad loss. Second, third, fourth in that race.
Yeah. So, that was a red hot kick in the nuts. And my day was just a day full of just near misses.
Almost. Yeah, nothing worse.
And that leads into my third one, and that has to be Young Werther. I think that's the worst beat I've had in a very long time.
That's a bad beat.
First time I jump on him, he jumps at 15s. He's friendless in the market. He's drifting. I jump on. Have him in a combo. Another leg of my combo gets up. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling good.
I thought it was a cracking bet too.
It was a cracking bet.
Cracking.
Man. And then he loses by nose by Captain Jack, Explosive Jack.
Captain Jack Sparrow. I can't believe he swooped in and stole victory from you. Yeah, that was bad.
I never heard of that horse.
No. Now Macca did. Now because he put her in the quaddy.
Oh, so yeah, I guess you know. And now Captain Jack's bloody favourite of the SA Derby.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that plays out. But look, we were talking about bad beats today, and I was like, I had some shocking beats in the spring too. I think I had more close calls in the spring. I just had out and out losses during the autumn. But on Derby Day alone, I had Personal, which was in the second or third race.
Yeah.
That lost to your thing.
Victoria Key.
That's right. And Odium, which lost by a schnoz.
Yeah.
Rah! Rah! It still stings.
Does
so
sting.
I've had a shocking last sort of 6 to 9 months, but you know what? It's all downhill from here.
See, now that saying, does that mean it's a positive thing or a negative thing? Because if you're downhill, you know, without the brakes on, you could die.
Mm. Well, it's easier to go downhill though, is it not? Mm. I don't know. Let's ask Frank Ocean.
Yeah. We'll get him on the podcast. Mm. I'm sure he listens. but that's bad beats. Let us know yours. I'm sure there'll be some social content going up about this because, you know, we're suckers for punishment.
Oh, look, punning is a series of bad beats, close victories, and then the very, very occasional juicy win. That's all it is.
Weekly.
Oh, it's a roller coaster.
The former, not the latter. Anyway, look, I've got Apollo recipient written down here. I'm going to do it really quick because I think they deserve it. I'm giving out, and I'm not giving out a navy, a white. I'm just giving out a purple. I think going on, we're just going to give out either a navy or a purple. Port Adelaide are getting a purple polo this week.
Suckers.
They suck.
They suck, mate.
They are Brisbane's bunnies.
Love to see it.
Harris Andrews gave Charlie Dixon an absolute bath.
As he always does.
It was brilliant to see.
Mm.
At the game, just none of them put in for the jersey.
No, they didn't. Charlie's just, you know, sitting in the bath that Harris Andrews has poured for him. It's a lukewarm bath. It's not an enjoyable bath.
Rubber ducky in one hand.
Pruny hands, yeah. Charlie.
Yeah.
Come on, prune hands.
They might be enormous hands, but they're pruny.
They're pruning. So, he's not going to grip anything with those pruny hands.
No, and he couldn't kick straight either. It's like a kick in a bar of soap. So, look, probably a bit harsh on Big Charlie there, but Port Adelaide as a club, more like Purple Adelaide, I would have thought.
Suckers.
So, that's done and dusted. We get into the racing. The Yawn Derby, the South Australian Derby, 3-year-olds, 2,500 metres, set weights. Last year won by Russian Camelot.
Oh, what a win that was too.
Went through the archives and I saw that only two fillies have won this race in 27 years.
I didn't know that,
not that surprising.
It's not. Looking at it, obviously you've got Personal in there.
On the quick backup, which might actually suit her.
May do, but not for me.
Who knows? She's done her dash.
Oh, I just don't think against the boys.
Yeah, fair enough. And one of the fillies to win that was Kofila, who did nothing up until then and then did nothing after that.
Yeah, that's right.
So, real anomaly there. That was only 2 years ago. I think she was about 30 or 40 to one. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, how do you see the Yawn Stakes,
Yawn
Derby playing out?
God. Look, it's an interesting race because there's a few horses that have come out of different races. However, if you look a bit deeper, a lot of these horses have actually versed each other at some point. In terms of form line that I think's probably most important, I want to look at the form around Explosive Jack rather than the form around local horse Royal Mile. So, there's a horse that actually beat Explosive Jack in the Bendigo Street Leisure Trial.
Yes, over 2,200 metres.
Over 2,200 metres, and then came out and beat Through Irish Eyes in the Galilee Series Final over 2,400 metres. Through Irish Eyes won the St. Leisure Final recently.
So yes, it did.
That form has been franked, and that horse is number 3, Laquero. Draws well here, I think, sits just off pace and should get a pretty good run. What I was wondering, though, is will they be asleep at the front? Because it doesn't seem to be tons and tons of early speed in this race.
Yeah, from that gate, Luke Curry in the saddle, hopefully it will just sit closer to the speed. Laquero is the one I found as well.
Mm.
I think 550 is actually a pretty decent price for it. I thought it'd be closer to favorite without seeing the odds. I can understand the odds for Explosive Jack. $3 is very short, though. Like, you look at his starting price profile, $16 last start in the Australian Derby. So, you know, I just find that hard to marry up. To be honest, mate, I didn't have too much more to add in this race. I had Laquero on top. I think personal on the quick backup will suit her. She's won out at this distance against the fillies, and she does like racing this way of going. And then I had Explosive Jack in for third. So, playing around the favourites, nothing too interesting for mine.
Yeah, look, I've got a little bit to add to that with Let's Crack a Deal. I think at 14 bucks, I think he's a great shout. He's been aimed at this race. This is him third up. He gets the blinkers for the first time. He's trained by Marwan Yusuf, just like Explosive Jack. So, that'll be interesting to see how he goes. Should probably get a good to soft track. There's a bit of rain forecast for Adelaide, so that'll suit him. He comes out of a race where he ran second to Royal Mile over 1,800 metres in the Port Adelaide Guineas. So, I think he gets to a distance which is suitable. And the biggest query for mine for him, though, is obviously a drawing gate 15. But I think Benny Allen can get him forward and running well. So, I think if you're looking for a roughie in this race, I'd be on Let's Crack a Deal. One other horse that I found interesting was number 6, Deep Strike. Ran in the Chairman's Stakes, which was the race that Royal Mile won last start. Ran 8th there, but if you watch a replay of that race, was trying to get out about 3 or 4 different times and just couldn't, but found the line really strongly. It's won its previous 2 prior to that race. So, I think it's unders at $8.50, but just wanted to highlight that horse. So, yeah, I think it's out of those ones. But I've got Laquero on top as well. Yeah, Explosive Jack should run well as well. And, yeah, snuck Let's Karaka Deal into my numbers.
On Let's Karaka, in the spring, it was pretty much leading each race it was running in. If it wasn't, it was in the top 2 or 3. It's sitting back in its runs now, and it's actually hitting the line quite nicely. So, blinker's first time for him as well. So, that out of Kieran Maher, David Eustace, they can definitely train a stayer. You know, the stablemate might even – he might beat the stablemate home.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. How often do you see that? He's only third up here as well, so this has always been the target for him, whereas I think they said after Explosive Jack won the Australian Derby they were going to take him down to Adelaide potentially, depending on how he pulled up, but I think the Australian Derby was his grand final, so maybe a little bit of an afterthought, but wouldn't surprise. He actually, in that race, he ran second to Laquero in the Bendigo St. Leisure Trial, whatever. He actually hit the line really, really strongly, so... Yeah. Yeah, look, he could run really well, but we'll see.
Fair enough. On to our time-honoured Juicy Stakes tips.
Time-honoured.
So, last week, my roughie Paul's Regret in the feature ran a really nice 8th.
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
I had Flexible in the feature, which I thought was a good price. It ran 4th, so...
Yeah. Hey, top 4. That's what we want for values. So, each way...
I had Mizzy as my each way, ran 14th. I don't know what happened to Mizzy in that race. It's very bizarre. It was on pace and then just faded.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Who knows?
I was a bit cheeky. I put Steinem as my each way, but Bo Rossa did my best. He jumped at an each way price. So I was kind of playing between the two, but Steinem finished ninth, Bo Ross at one. So,
which is good. Yeah. Thousand Wishes was no good at all. Dang. In the fifth race. So.
And we're 0 for 35.
0 for 35.
You know, that just means we've raised, you know, upwards of $350 for charity. So it could be worse.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Wholesome content. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I went interstate for my value play of the day.
Yeah, look, I was looking interstate because I don't like the card in Adelaide very much.
It is disgusting stuff.
However, Let's Crack a Deal, I thought, at $14 in the feature was a good price. So, that's my roughie.
Beautiful. Look, I've been trying to bet on this horse for a few times and she's not the $126 she once was, but Alison of Tuffy in the last at Gold Coast, number one, beat home Crone, her last run of last year, who is a subsequent Group 1 winner. Look, she hasn't been fantastic in her two runs this prep, but getting onto what's likely to be a soft deck might be what turns her around. She's drawn perfectly. Should sit on speed. Nash in the saddle.
Bang.
$21. That's a good play.
Yeah, nice. I've got Laquero for my each way. $5.50 at the moment. So, should get your money back if it runs a place. Punters. Yeah,
no, same.
Mm. And then, this is a bit of... This has got Master of Wine vibes for me.
Oh, dear.
This is... If it doesn't win this race, and forget about this horse. But in race 8, in Adelaide, Sherry Tor Tony.
Oh, dear.
So, if you actually have a look at that race, it's about $2.40. And if you look at the other horses in the race, I just can't see any horses that should really have a good shot at challenging it. So, yeah, Sherry Tor Tony gets to a mile, which is, I think it's favoured distance. Draws pretty well, but probably gets a soft deck in Adelaide if it does rain, which he enjoys. So, at this stage, he's a master of wine. If he doesn't win this race, no thank you.
I did have a look at this race, and I'm trying to find something to beat it.
Yeah.
Maybe Way to Go Paula. Maybe.
I thought that, or potentially Agreeable might be a bit of a threat, but yeah. Nah. I think Cherry Tortoni should be winning this, and if it doesn't, then... Never back it again.
Especially with Embolism out of the race.
Mm.
I thought that wouldn't be a bad shout, but now it's out. So, maybe Casino 17. Haven't looked at the form properly. And to be honest, I don't know my Adelaide form at all. So, yeah, no, that's a fair shout. Look, this is a genuine stab in the dark for my best play of the day. Full disclosure, I said that last week and it got up. So, this could win as well, but... Heading to the Gold Coast race 4, number 11, Wisdom of Water, Annabelle Neesham's stable. I think she's turned around this horse. He's been quite impressive, his two runs this prep. Big query, huge query, undeniable query is the likely soft track at the Gold Coast, which he has absolutely no form on. But you're getting a price of $5 to find out. Jai McNeil in the saddle, 54 kegs. He meets... Horses like Scalapini beautifully at the weights. I think he did show a lot of ticker just going down to Signore Fox, and he wasn't too far away from Wild Ruler. Like if Wild Ruler was in this race, he'd be $1.20. So I think the $5 on offer for Wisdom of Water is not a bad shout.
Fair enough, mate. Gold Coast actually got some decent racing, so check it out, punters.
Absolutely. Well, Group 1 Racing returns to Brisbane next week, if I'm not mistaken.
Does, with the Doom and 10,000, mate.
So, we have the Goodwood next week and we have the Doom and 10,000. So, we're going to be busy boys.
Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to that more so than what I am the South Australian Derby.
Absolutely. So, once again, not too confident with our picks this week. Well, at least I'm not.
We'll see.
So... If you're having a bet, to be honest, just save your money until the spring or even the winter. The winter's going to be good.
Winter will be good.
Yeah. So, if you're having a bet, maybe save it till then. But we'll see you next time.
Peace.